Thank you, Sung. A beautiful song. It fits with my talk perfectly. I have 3 points today. If we live by these points that the Lord gave me, it will be well with our souls. Just open a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for that beautiful song by Sung. We just pray you'd be with the word today that you put on my heart. It will be a blessing. We pray for those also watching on the web, that there would be touch as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Many years ago, I was a runner, not a great runner, but to stay in shape. It was pretty popular then. And I ran a few of those 5Ks. I think it's, close to 3 miles, something like that. A long time ago, this will be a sight. Ed, I don't know if you're watching, but years ago, my brother Bruce, as some of you know, Ed Broom and I ran a 5K. Ed, if we ran that today, boy, that would be a sight. So when you have to sign up for these, and it's usually for some kind of charity or something, and they give you a number, and you pin it on your shirt, paper number, so you're now registered. And when I ran those, I wanted to make sure I finished, and just finished strong, and that was the goal. It didn't matter what time or what place I came in. And today, all the believers today were running in their race, in their Christian walk. When we receive salvation, we get saved to go on and serve him. He didn't just save us to take us to heaven. He could have done that. He didn't save us just to sit on the couch and call it a day. He wants everybody to serve him. So my first point is we got to get in the race. And it's open to everybody. Two steps here that we have to do to get in this race. In Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Amen. Coming along with that, we get like that thing I wore in the race. He marks us and he knows who we are. In Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. We have the Holy Spirit. We're marked for life. We are saved. And that is just such a blessing. From this point on, it's out with the old, new creation, and in with the new. We are new. As Nick shared this morning, we are a new creation. A little bit different on this race. It's not 5K, 10K, marathon. It's from when you're saved to the rest of your life. And not everybody starts at the same time, obviously, or at the same starting line. If somebody gets saved in here today, you're starting that race today. I think Adel has seniority in here. He would have started the race. He has the most experience in this race. We're marked with that seal. And another thing he does, once you get that seal, your name is in the book of life. What a blessing. The Lord said he will never blot anybody's name out of the book of life, which is another blessing. It's no picnic, this race. There's obstacles, victories, setbacks, disappointments, turns. We get rerouted a lot and plenty of hardships. But when we have the Holy Spirit with us, it's such a benefit. He's called a helper, a comforter, an encourager, and a guide during this race. Like we do sometimes, we go off, we take a side trip on this race, and the Holy Spirit will convict us, hopefully, when we can repent, get back, turn around again, get on the right track, make a confession, and get back on track. When you think about races in the Bible, we all know it comes back to the Apostle Paul. When his life was going to be over shortly, he knew it. He summed up his race into three sections in 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. And that should be our goal for all of us today. That's the way to run this race. Make a strong effort, complete the task, and remain loyal and faithful till the end. None of us know when the end will be. It could be today, it could be 10 years. It will be over with the rapture, though, but we don't know when that's going to take place. Okay, second point, don't look back. It's a big one. I read recently that the report said people are leaving the Christian churches more so than ever before. And the people that are still in the church, their attendance is dwindling. Thankfully, we don't have that here. I'm titling today's talk, Don't Look Back and Finish the Race. The report said one main reason cited that people leave churches is a desire for individualized spirituality. Not sure what that meant. I don't care. We don't have that. We do have here that our beliefs are based on Jesus Christ and Him alone. Our webpage says we preach the historic Christian faith as taught by Christ and the apostles. Some people say, I am my own God. That's not so. Jesus Christ is the one and only. He is the true God. Some people come to churches to meet some kind of personal comfort, some need to help their body, rather than seeing a need for them, how broken they are, a need to get saved by Christ and to serve Him. I think Adel mentioned that in the business meeting. We might be having another baptism coming up. Those are great days. We see several people giving their life to Christ, telling their testimony, and making a commitment to Jesus. And that song we always sing on that baptism day, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. Nice song. How true is it, though? All of us have seen people that have turned back. Sadly, it's like that sower you read up out of the Bible. He seeds seeds, they might take on rocky ground, might be a little moisture there. They sprout quickly on shallow soil, then they hit the sun and they just completely wither and died because it had no deep roots to draw water from. And this can happen to anybody. We can say, not gonna happen to me, but you don't know. It's always something to watch out for and guard against and stay diligent. We have to do that. The Lord takes our commitments really seriously. I mean, hugely. I'll mention a few later. We should mimic Him. When He went up to Golgotha, He didn't turn left or right. He didn't look around back at Jerusalem. He just went straight up that hill to the cross to be crucified. And we should never turn back from following Him. So three examples on people who turned away and look back. And kind of in the order, that they appeared. First one, we all know this story. I'll summarize it and scan it. Lot's wife. It's in Genesis 19. These are angels saying here, we're about to destroy this city completely. The outcry against this place is so great, it has reached the Lord, and he has sent us to destroy it. At dawn the next morning, the angels became insistent. Hurry, they said to Lot. Take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Get out right now, or you will be swept away in the destruction of the city. Here's Lot. When Lot still hesitated, the angel seized his hand and the hands of his wife and took the two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city, for the Lord was merciful. When they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, run for your lives and don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away. Then the Lord rained down fire and burning sulfur from the sky on Sodom and Gomorrah. He utterly destroyed them, those cities, along with the other cities and villages of the plain, wiping out all the people and every bit of vegetation. Here we go. But Lot's wife looked back and noticed where she was. She was following behind him, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Lot and his wife knew the Lord was about to destroy their home, their cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And both, he'd even said it, Lot hesitated too, but they both hesitated to obey the Lord's commands through the angels. But the Lord mercifully led them out of the city. Lot, trailing behind, probably not enthused to be leaving, disobeyed the Lord's clear command and looked back at the burning city. The Lord instantly turned her into a pillar of salt. This look back, English sometimes doesn't have the flavor of the translations the Bible was really written in. I looked it up, and it's so, like we could say look back, oh nice, but that's not what she did. The word they used in that original Bible was translated as longingly looked back, like she was just dwelling on it. You could tell she didn't want to leave. It was not a casual glance. Probably for her lifestyle, comforts, culture, and memories she was going to leave behind. She was comfortable there. She wanted to stay there. Bill McDonald said it best. She was out of Sodom, but Sodom was not out of her. That's so true. So that was hundreds of years before the New Testament. And one final word on Lot's wife, the Lord does not forget. Hundreds of years later, the Lord said to his disciples, making a speech to the Pharisees and them, emphasizing the importance of not looking back. He said in Luke 17, remember what happened to Lot's wife. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. So the Lord kind of speaks, you got to read those two or three times. If you hold on to all your baggage, all your skeletons, everything which would be clinging to it, you're not going to win the race. But if you let that stuff go and follow his commands, you will save it. He emphasized it again in Luke 9:62. Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So you're on this guy, whoever it was, you're ready to go to do work. You put your hands in the plow, you're ready to serve, and then you go like this, I don't want to, I want to go back. He said, that person is not fixed for the kingdom of God. When we make a commitment, let's stick to it. Okay, final. The Israelites, we all know the story. I'll scan it again. Huge group of people, large group of people with very short memories. The Lord freed the Israelites who were slaves to Egypt's Pharaoh, who forced them to do very harsh labor. They beat these people for years, beat them and whipped them. We all have seen Ten Commandments. They're in the mud pits making brick in the sun with straw and getting whipped and beaten and abused. So the Lord, through Moses, sent 10 plagues to convince Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. The Passover was the final straw when people were killed that didn't have the blood on the threshold. That was, Pharaoh had had enough. He kept saying, no, I'm not going to let them go. But then when that happened, he said, okay, let my people go, and he did. The Israelites were free. Moses led them to the Red Sea. Pharaoh, he had second thoughts, and he sent his army after them. Moses stretched out his staff on the water. The Lord, as you know, parted it, and Israelites go through on dry land to the other side. Pharaoh's army, we can go right through on the chariots. Went right through the dry ground, the chariots, till they were all encompassed on the water, and then the Lord released both sides, killed them all. The Israelites, I think they went in with 70, Sherry, 70 people. They went in with 70 people and came out as a nation. The blessings didn't stop there. Pretty soon after, the Lord went to there was a spring there that had nothing but foul water. He purified the spring, made it drinking water, and provided them with all the water they needed. He gave them manna for food. So they're content for now. They've got blessing after blessing and after blessing. No problem yet. But they had very short memories, and very quickly their attitude changed. You think you might last a few months at least before you forgot what happened. There was barely enough time for their bruises from the whipping healed. Then the whole community in Exodus 16 of Israel set out for Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin. Between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month. Get this, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. Hundreds of thousands of people saved. They've only been out there 1 month, so here we go. Then too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, if only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death. The Lord again was merciful and he blessed them again. Okay, you don't like the manna? We're going to give you some meat, water, and now we'll give you meat. The Lord heard their cries, and in Exodus 16, that evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. Water, bread, and now meat. What's not to like? But they'll find a way to keep complaining. Now, you think they'd be satisfied. There was no pleasing this group. They wanted a Mediterranean diet with all their spices and onions and garlic. In number 11, it said, "Will you remember the fish we used to eat for free? We had the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic." I don't know. If I was beaten, I would be satisfied without meal. I would not want to go back to getting beaten again. But their appreciation for what the Lord did wore off very quickly as they longed for their diet. What about the beatings and the whippings in the mud? Don't they remember that? There was very little thanksgiving or trusting from them. They forgot the Lord, that the Lord saved them from certain death at the Red Sea. Also, they didn't trust God who took them out of captivity and went through all this, promising this new country. Their default, we can be this way. Their default was to complain and rebellion, longing for the food in Egypt and wanting their spices, even though they were getting whipped and beaten there. This is like the last straw. They continue to complain. Numbers 14, why is the Lord taking us to this country? Would you rather stay where you came from? Only to have us die in battle. Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? They plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Okay, I think the Lord has reached his wit's end here. It says, I say, what is the Lord's response to this selfish, unappreciative behavior? It was serious as you can get. He says, but as surely as I live, and as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will ever enter that land. They have all seen my glorious presence and the miraculous signs I performed both in Egypt and in the wilderness. But again and again, they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. They will never, ever see the land I swore to them to give their ancestors. None of those who have treated me with contempt will ever see it. So what happened to them? 40 years in a small area. I think Sylvia used to say it's like 11 miles. They're just going all over the place. And only Joshua and Caleb entered the promised land. Very sad. All these three examples have sad endings. The Lot's wife, Israelites. Now this one, this guy flamed out like a match. His name was Demas. In Philemon 23, it says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Paul commends Demas here as one of his fellow workers doing the work side by side. He lists them ahead of Luke, and we all know what Luke is in the New Testament. He is keeping some lofty company here, this Demas. We're not going to hear much more about him. One more greetings. Colossians 4, he says, our dear friend Luke the doctor and Demas send greetings. So he gets mentioned 2-3 times, and then we don't know at all what happened. Demas looked back to his former life, deserting Paul, and left. The work he was doing, this is what happens when any of our brothers turn away. Somebody else has to pick up the slack and do two jobs. He abandoned his commitment to the Lord. In 2 Timothy 4:10, it said, Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. So he left the ministry, just turning back like Lot's wife, went back to where he came from. He completely bailed out on Paul. Probably like Lot's wife, he missed something about where he came from. Doesn't say, but he wanted to go back to the comfortable life. So we can ask Demas today, what happened to the old is gone and the new is here? He changed it to the old is back and the new is gone. And anybody who has a dog in here might know this. We've seen it. We've had dogs. In Proverbs 26:11, some of these people pulled this. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. The Lord is saying anybody who's looking back is a fool. And what happened to Demas? We don't know. He was never mentioned again in Scripture. He did the same as Lot's wife. He longed for the comforts and customs of his former life. So my final point, we got to finish the race. Get in the race, no turning back, and finish the race. With the actions of Demas, we can see that past service is no guarantee of future service. We have to be focused like Flint, keeping our eyes on the Lord, persevering, finishing strong, keeping the faith. We got to be in it for the long haul. It's not a 50-yard sprint. And also, it's not like a relay race where you run your lap, hand my stick to Jeff, and I rest. And then Jeff takes over. It's not. The race continues on and on. We have to work and serve like that song we used to sing here, with eternity's values in view, not earthly values. And don't forget what the Lord has done for us so far. All the blessings. The song says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. He has died for us. We wanted to keep serving him as a group and families. He's given us a great blessed life with a future and a hope. Running this race is the least we can do for him. And if anybody in here has turned back, we have a God of second chances. Do a 180 and turn back to him. Repent and confess and get right with the Lord. And if we do that, like Sung Song said, it's hard to say, then our souls will be blessed. If we fight them, our souls are not going to be blessed. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this family of God here today, Lord. We just thankful to serve you. Pray we hold our commitments, serve you till the very end. Thank you for this word. In Jesus' name, amen.